given of the suffering saints. These were the Christians that were scattered, the pilgrims of the dispersion, they're called in verse 1. And these were those who were rejoicing in the promises that they knew and believed in, and the inheritance that awaited them as faithful children of God. And yet, Peter said, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." They understood and were going through the suffering that is a part of Christian living, but they still persevered. And he encouraged them along those lines to be faithful to God. And then in chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, we have these words. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." There are three things mentioned here that Peter urges the Christians to be. They are to be followers, they are to be sufferers, and they are to be defenders. Following Christ is what all of us are to do. And Peter says to them, if you follow Christ, you don't have to worry about a thing. It doesn't matter what people do to you. It doesn't matter what you suffer, because you're in a safe condition. And no one can harm you. He poses that question. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Christ has set forth his commandments, his teachings, so that we might know how to walk, how to live, so that life can be secure. That's exactly what we want, isn't it? To have security and safety, to not have any worries, any troubles. The Christian life can be that. It doesn't mean the Christian life is going to be without hardship. He's about to explain that. But his point is that if you are doing what is good, you don't have to worry and be concerned and be troubled in your heart. You have the kind of security that is everlasting, because you are in the hands of Christ and no one can put your soul in jeopardy. The body doesn't have security. The body grows old. The body can get diseased. The body can be beaten. An accident can happen. The body is dead. But the soul that lives for Christ has eternal security. So Peter says, you do what is right, you don't have anything to be worried about. Don't worry about being harmed. But then he says in verse 15, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. So being a follower is exactly what you want to be. Follow what is good and you have security. But then he says, even if you do suffer. And here's the reality. What Paul told Timothy is that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So suffering is a part of being a Christian. That's just a given. And so it's not an unusual thing. But when it happens, he says, then when you suffer, and here's an important phrase, for righteousness' sake, then what is it? You are a blessed person. You can be filled with joy and happiness. You don't have anything to be concerned about. It's not like the guys that you see on television that get caught and they're hanging their heads low. Some of them, at least they used to do that. Some of them in some places you'll see even with a brown bag over their head. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be identified. Shame. Not when you're a Christian suffering for righteousness' sake, because there's nothing associated with shame when you're doing what is right and you suffer. In fact, he says, you're blessed. And then he says, do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. People might even say things to try to get you to stop doing what you're doing. You might be proclaiming the truth. They don't like to hear it. Why are you telling people that? They might threaten you. Whatever it is, don't be afraid. In fact, these words are a quotation from what God had said to Isaiah, his prophet. The prophet of God, as many others were, they were sufferers for the Lord's sake. But Isaiah, in chapter 8, had said, the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me, that I should not walk in the way of this people. Isaiah might be tempted to conform. All of the pressures placed upon him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was speaking the truth, yet it was a despised message and a word, though from God. So God says, don't conform to the people. Don't go along with them. Don't walk in their ways. Verse 12, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. There's what we read in 1 Peter. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow, Him you should fear, or let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and be taken. God says to Isaiah, you put your trust in me. I'll be your security. Don't be afraid. And that's the very thing that Peter is urging the Christians who are suffering at the hands of their enemies. We live in a time where suffering can sometimes happen in the more lighter forms. You know, you're rejected, you might be ridiculed, but it may be that in the future, being a Christian may involve another kind of suffering that is familiar to us when we read the Bible. Because there are changes in society. There are changes in laws. There's a change in the mindset of our nation. We need to be a prepared people, realizing that we should not be afraid of threats, not be troubled by what we hear, but rather sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Let God have a special place. Set Him apart. He reigns on the throne of your heart. His word is what you live for. You conform your life to that. You're not afraid of the troublesome things that you hear that men are saying, the changes that are occurring, the hostility that you hear about and you read about and you see toward the way that is right. You don't worry about that. Instead, here's what you do. Always be ready to give a defense. There's the word, apologia. You're ready. You are to be a defender of the truth. And you give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here you become more and more a people in the minority. You're not the same as people religiously. You're not the same as people morally. You're not the same as people politically. You're going to be a very odd person, a person that will be despised and hated. That's the way Christians are, especially when the world becomes farther and farther away from God's ways. But be ready to answer them. He doesn't want us to be quiet, to just drift off into the shadows. You be a voice for truth. You speak what needs to be said. You give an answer to people. Why are you living this way? What hope do you possibly have? Here's my hope. Jesus Christ. The way of God, truth and righteousness. The one way, the one standard by which all men will be judged. That's our confidence. That's our hope. But we do it with this. A spirit of meekness and fear. Meekness toward all men, humility, a gentle disposition, fear toward God. Knowing that we will answer one day, we will be called into judgment. We must be faithful. We cannot conform. We must be true to the God who gave His Son to die for us. Despite the fact that we live in changing times, we have rock-solid hope and stability and confidence in the Lord who has made promises that will not be shaken. We have eternal life waiting for us. We have the Word of Jesus Christ that He has gone to prepare a place for us, John 14, and that He's coming back to receive us to Himself one day. Do you have that hope? Are your sins washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you believed that Jesus Christ is God's Son and turned away from past sin? Have you acknowledged your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized, that is, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, so that you can be a part of the church that you read about in the Scriptures, as opposed to the hundreds of churches of men that we have in our society today? What has your choice been? Tonight you can change your future with a decision to do those things that we've just mentioned. And the Lord will cleanse you of all past sins and make you a part of the body of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've already made that greatest of decisions, the question is, are you living the faithful, distinctive life, not being ashamed of the gospel, but rather standing firmly in the truth and for the truth, being a voice, being willing to give those answers to those who ask you. If your life is less than what it should be, if you need to return to your Lord, I encourage you tonight to do that as we stand, as we sing.